Fantasy TV.
Human unbelief begins by doubting the account in Genesis. Yes, right off the bat, God is seen to be a teller of tales, a weaver of yarns, an idealist, a simplistic, borderline stupid being who thinks that the cute stories of creation will actually be believed by sophisticated people who know better than he does. How unlikely and really can't say inefficient, because the creation of Genesis is very efficient. God speaks and it happens. God calls it into being and it comes into being. It's quite efficient. But let's say this. They don't think that Genesis is complicated enough. There it is. People don't think the Genesis account is complicated enough. And this unbelief carries through to the rest of Scripture, including the coming of the Son of God to save us from sin. This is Martin Sender. You're at MZTV, and I'm glad you're here. I love being with you here every day. I'll never forget, we had this... Well, I was raised in the Catholic Church, as you know, and we had this priest named Father Don who used to come to our house. We had a couple different priests that came to our house. And it was a big deal if you had one of the priests visiting your house. You bragged about it. That gave you bragging rights. My mom would say, Father Jim was over swimming the other day, or Father Don stopped by for a beer. Yeah, good old Father Don. I'll never forget playing ping pong with Father Don in my basement, and Father Don telling me that, you know, the creation story, he called it a story, the story of creation in Genesis, that's not how it really happened. It's not? I'm swatting the ping pong. It's not? No, it's a fanciful tale. It's just a story. It's a parable. Of what? Oh, of evolution, or maybe the Big Bang. The Big Bang, talk about simple. People think God is too simple. The Big Bang is the stupidest explanation for how everything came into existence. There was an explosion and everything fell into place. As if an explosion at a print shop would create a dictionary with every letter lined up, every word, every definition in its proper place alphabetically. Yeah. Tell me another one. That's the ultimate stupidity. But then when we get to evolution, this is where humans like to complicate things. I don't know if you know this, but Charles Darwin was a religious guy. He was raised a Christian, and he was raised to believe in eternal torment. I learned all this from L. Ray Smith. I invited L. Ray Smith to speak at one of my conferences in Willard, Ohio. Many of you came to the truth of the salvation of all, or of the sovereignty of God, via L. Ray Smith. Well, he was really good at disproving evolution. And I didn't know this, but he said that Charles Darwin hated the God of Christianity so much. Why? Because he was taught the doctrine of eternal torment. He was so repulsed by a God who could eternally torment his creatures that it inspired him to develop a cosmology that eliminated God from the mix. He didn't want that God anywhere near creation. Because who could trust a God who would eternally torment people? Who would trust a God to create things? That God must be evil, or at least have a really bad mean streak. Can't trust him. And so Darwin developed the theory of evolution, which is so stupid that a species can jump over to another species and would adapt itself into another species. Now, we know that within species, there's adaptation. But species do not jump species. This is why Scripture says God made everything after its own kind. A fish can never develop into an elephant. An ostrich can never develop into a giraffe. you can't mate a hummingbird with a rhinoceros. For one thing, the hummingbird wouldn't like it. People have tried. The hummingbird put up a great protest. But you can mate a cocker spaniel with a poodle or a terrier with a shih tzu and get a different breed of dog. But that's development within a species. So here's God breathing into an inert form that he created out of the soil. How foolish is that? Breathing the breath of life into it, and the first human comes into existence. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There's no such thing as cavemen. There are no Cro-Magnon men. There's some people that seem like they're stuck halfway on the evolutionary process. Even here in South Florida, there seem to be Cro-Magnon people or Neanderthals. But no, that's pure fiction. Adam was created an adult male, fully functional. On day one, I'm sure he started a fire, started cooking stuff. No, that's right. They weren't meat eaters yet. No, he wasn't a meat eater, but I suppose he would want some, you know, creamed corn. So he would have to. Yeah, rice too. Rice. Yeah, you can't eat rice raw. So he probably boiled the rice. So he had to start a fire. He was doing all this stuff on day one. Humanity is much smarter than we give it credit for. But in order to eliminate God from his creation, evolution was developed by a man who hated God because of the Christian religion, because of the doctrine of eternal torment. So God simply speaks things into existence. It's stated very plainly in Scripture. But of course, it's too plain and it's too outrageous for anybody to believe. And again, people think that God is trying to be smart, trying to look sophisticated, trying to look cool, and failing miserably. Because if God was cool, man, he would be on the evolutionary train. That's cool to think that species adapt and then change species in order to become better and thrive better in their environment. That's cool. And today, it's amazing. Even down to the Catholic priest, shouldn't be surprised about that, but it's amazing how the doctrine, the theory of evolution is everywhere. The whole world has gone after it. Even some Christians believe in evolution. And they see these, quote, stories in the Bible. It's they can't stomach the foolishness of God. That's it. But again, the foolishness of God is done on purpose. God purposely does things that way so that he can confound the wise. And so all these animals and planets and stars and the sun coming into existence by a mere declaration. That is not a story. That is an account. That is the explanation of how we got here. And it's not a choice of creation versus science, because true science will support the truth. And true science has discovered that the whole human race can come down to two individuals who mated and had that first offspring, who then had more offspring and more offspring and more offspring. Someone said, okay, you're smart, so smart in the scriptures. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I answered immediately, the chicken. The chicken. God created the first chicken as a chicken, completely whole, as a chicken. He didn't create an egg and then hatch. No, an egg has to be fertilized. There has to be a rooster and a hen that are both chickens in order to create another chicken. And they do it by means of an egg, right? So, of course, the chicken came first, and the chicken was created whole as an adult chicken. Didn't start as a chick. No. Everything was created in an adult form. No reason to believe otherwise, looking at the template, looking at the example of Adam. God created Adam out of the soil. And science also concludes, confirms, that every single cell of our body, every single part of us, whether it's our skin, otherwise known as the integumentary system, or the muscles or the blood, everything's traceable to the soil. All of our elements, all the elements of the human body are traceable to the soil. What do you know? Let God be found true, though every human a liar. So it starts in Genesis. The fable. But it's not a fable. It's our history. This is how it happened. And even some Christians say, well, God could speak the Big Bang into existence. God could speak evolution into existence. Why can't evolution be compatible with God creating the heavens and the earth? He did create the heavens and the earth. He did create humanity. He just created it through evolution. Stop. Where do you read of evolution in Genesis? No, God breathed into a form that he fashioned from the soil, and it became the first man. Boom! First man on the scene, on the ground, breathes into him, stands up. The guy does his thing, cooks his rice, falls asleep one day. God pulls a woman out of him. I don't care how unlikely it sounds. That sounds exactly how it happened. And then he and the woman get together. They know each other, and off goes the human race. Then, of course, we get to Noah's Ark. God destroys all the inhabitants of the earth because of the race being infiltrated by the Nephilim. Spiritual beings came down, mated with women. The whole race got screwed up, except for 8 people. God saves 8 people. That sounds unlikely. I don't care how it sounds. All the races can be traced back to either Shem, Ham, or Japheth, who were Noah's sons. Yeah, we all came from them. People ask me, are you sure there's not another humanity? Like, wasn't there a race before Adam? No, there wasn't. There's no record of it because there's not. Because Christ is the answer to Adam, is he not? Christ is the last Adam. As an Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Paul compares Adam to Christ in Romans 5. If there's another humanity somewhere, like before the disruption of the world, some other humanity on the first earth, then there would have to be another Christ to answer to that source of the human race. But no, there's only one human race, and there's only one source of the human race, and that is Adam. So all these missing links they've found. Dr. Lewis Leakey says, I found the jawbone of Cro-Magnon man. We found the missing link. No, they never have found the missing link. What's the missing link they're looking for? The link between apes and humans, between monkeys and Don Rickles. Don Rickles is my favorite go-to guy now. They can't find a missing link because there is no missing link. There is no halfway. There is no halfway. Monkeys were created monkeys. Gorillas were created gorillas. Adam was created Adam. And Adam probably had pet monkeys, just like Tarzan did. And they all existed at the same time. What about the dinosaurs? The dinosaurs were also created. Day five? Day six? Wherever the animals were created, that's when the dinosaurs were created. The dinosaurs didn't exist on the first earth and died in the disruption of the world. No, they were contemporaries with Adam. The way I understand it, they found some dinosaur bones that has actual the marrow, like they found the bones of Brontosaurus, and the bone marrow was still moist. You go to the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C., and they tell you that these creatures, they have the skeletons there. These are hundreds of millions of years old. Jeez, what a farce. Humanity is so proud. These pseudoscientists are so proud of themselves. They try to show their intelligence by putting these dates on things. Oh, there's a Paleozoic period. It went from 116 million years to 110 million. And then they invent all these millions and billions of years. I tell you this, the more millions you put on things, the more you start up the fog machine, right? All you got to do is put the number millions of years in there and everybody goes numb. Everybody just goes, okay, millions of years, yeah, okay. Millions of years, oh, wow, that's a long time, yeah. I used to look at those bones as a kid going to the Smithsonian Museum and like, oh, look at that. That's millions and millions of years old. No, it's not. It's not millions and millions of years old. It's 6,000 years old or less. Yeah, or less. Because the time from Adam to today has been approximately almost 6,000 years. Now, I'm not saying the Earth is not older than that. The Earth, the first Earth, we don't know how long that first Earth existed before the disruption of the world. We don't know that. But we do know that Adam did not exist on that first Earth. Nothing existed on the first Earth. Nothing is said to exist. And we know that God recreates the Earth. He brings the light out of the darkness. He separates the water, the land from the waters, because the water was the means of disrupting the first Earth. It was a spiritual disruption, but the physical manifestation of that disruption was water. So water covered the face of the Earth. That's what we read in Genesis, in the early verses of Genesis. Water covered the face of the Earth. Created by the Elohim were the heavens and the Earth, yet the Earth became a chaos and vacant. Yet the Spirit of God is vibrating on the waters. And then that vibration. All energy is vibration. Light is vibration. All manner of light. Ultraviolet light, infrared, whatever kind of visible light spectrum. Everything is vibration. The energy of God is vibration. It's my thinking that spiritual beings are vibrating. The angels, the 24 elders, the energy that they have that keeps them alive is vibration. And the faster they vibrate, if they vibrate fast enough, we can't see them. But if they slow down, we can see them. So I believe that anyone who sees an angel in this world, like Gabriel came to Mary, he slowed down the vibration and looked like a human being. But as soon as that vibration starts up, like an airplane propeller, it goes so fast that you can't see. You can see right through it because it goes so fast. All creation is vibrating. The Spirit of God vibrates upon the waters. Great, great. Love it. Then what happened? Well, then God separated the land. Oh, that sounds like something God could probably do. The land didn't separate itself. Hey, I got a question for you. If evolution's true, where does love come from? Where does caring for another people come from? Which species decided, I'm gonna care for somebody? When did the first aardvark say, I'm gonna care? I'm gonna love that ostrich over there, but I can't do it yet. It might take me a million years. But in a million years, I'm going to start loving that ostrich. Yeah. Might take a while. Might take a few tries. Might take 260 million years. But by God, I'm going to love that ostrich. No. Even the theory of evolution doesn't pretend to explain anything except physical traits of the creation. It doesn't bring into account language or feelings or emotions or love or anything like that. None of these things are imparted by God. Oh, you think it's magically imparted? Yeah, I think the Spirit of God vibrating is pretty magical, yeah. I think that's the best explanation I've ever heard. It's the most logical explanation I've ever heard. That God breathed and things happened. Sounds good to me. What's so crazy about that? I've said this before, but I got to share this again. Somebody said to me that they couldn't believe that Scripture was true. And I said, well, why? Well, there's too many crazy things happening. Like what? Well, the virgin birth. I mean, come on. God breathes and a zygote starts, you know, dividing in the woman's uterus. God, give me a break. I said, wait a minute, give me a break. You give me a break. What do you mean? You think that the virgin birth is some kind of miracle. You don't believe it. It's too outrageous. Yeah, it's too outrageous. I said, but look what you do believe. You do believe that when a man sees a woman, that organ in the middle of him gets hard and it extends outward towards the woman. And then he knows instinctively to put it inside the woman between her legs. And then he sends it in and out, in and out, in and out very, very quickly to the point that he gets very excited, very excited. And then he gets so excited that this juice spurts out of him that started way down inside of him, but it comes through these tubes, and then it comes out this little hole in his reproductive organ. And then that fluid in there consists of millions and millions of little swimmy things with heads and tails, and they know that they're supposed to swim and find this thing called the egg that just happens to burst out of a little container inside of of the woman, and it knows to go down into the uterus or and to cling to a wall of blood, seeing if anything's going to visit it, if any one of these swimming things is going to come in. So the little swimmers come in and they penetrate it, and when one penetrates it, this egg releases a poison that kills the rest, and then this thing just starts dividing, and a beautiful baby comes out. You believe that? That you believe? I mean, that's way more incredible. Way more unbelievable than God breathing and going, hey, you're pregnant. You're pregnant. That's perfect. Who would say that that's incredible? I just can't believe that. But you believe this? Oh, you got to be kidding me. What's the matter with you? So now you extend this to God's plan for salvation. One man dying for the sins of the world. Oh, what's wrong with that? A representative man. What's wrong with that? We send ambassadors to other countries. There's your principle right there. We send an ambassador to a foreign country, a foreign country, and that ambassador presents and represents our interests in that country. Yeah. What about God sending his own son from the country above, the celestial realm, to take on the sin and death that he himself created so that he could deliver us from it so that we can feel good? When we stop banging our heads against the wall, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. In order to blow up the beautiful simplicity of God's actions, humans invent complicated things. Or they think that the breath of God is foolish. But the way things are enacted as they present themselves in life are somehow brilliant. No, but it all comes from God. It starts with the breath of the Almighty. It starts with the Spirit by which all things are animated and through which all things consist. And as I said yesterday, there must be all these inequalities in the world for things to stay together. And it's all done by the power of God. And God just wants to be believed. There's no indication in Genesis. Or I'm going to tell you a fairy tale now. As the Christian God would say, okay, now we're going to tell a little tale. I'm going to tell you how creation didn't happen. And what? This is just my way of explaining evolution, that I created one man on the soil as an adult male. That's just my way of explaining evolution. It is? That's a weird damn way of explaining evolution. No. Let God be true. This is what it boils down to, I think. I'll end with this. It's a great verse. Let God be true, though every man a liar.